Have you heard about FDA-approved VYVGART? Efgartigimod alpha FCAB? Visit VYVGARTHCP.com to discover the mechanism of action, see the clinical trial data, and learn how to get your patients started on VYVGART. Explore how VYVGART may help your adult patients at VYVGARTHCP.com. VYVGART is a registered trademark of Argenx.
This is Jose Merino, Editor-in-Chief of the Neurology family of journals. The Neurology Podcast provides practical information to neurologists and other clinicians to help them provide better care for their patients. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Hello, everyone. This is BJ Hicks. I'm a vascular neurologist and co-director of the Comprehensive Stroke Program at OhioHealth Riverside Methodist Hospital. I am here with you on behalf of the Neurology Podcast. Now, today we are going into a Green Journal paper entitled Differences in Multiple Risk Factors Between Black and White Individuals with Young Onset Stroke. The lead author is Prachi Mendenrada. She is the Assistant Professor of Neurology from the University of Maryland. Cannot wait to talk to you, Prachi. Thank you so much.
Thank you, BJ, for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
So let's get started. I would like for you to just give us all the elevator pitch of this study and what you feel are the key takeaways for neurologists to know.
So we wanted to examine the association of multiple risk factors for stroke in young adults. The premise of the study was that there is perhaps a synergistic pathophysiologic effect of multiple risk factors. And we utilized the stroke prevention in young adult study, which was a case control study done in the Baltimore, Washington area between 1992 and 2007. And we looked at four main risk factors, which were hypertension, diabetes, current smoking, and obesity. And what we found was that the odds of having a stroke increased exponentially with the increase in the number of risk factors. And when we looked at race, we found that Black individuals were six times more likely to have four risk factors. This was very striking to us that young Black individuals were just more likely to have traditional stroke risk factors and were at increased risk of stroke.
And when it comes to small vessel etiology and large vessel to a lesser extent, those seem to be the main drivers of distinction in this study, especially amplified within those patients aged 35 to 49. I mean, 14 times more likely to have three to four of these risk factors. I, for one, found this astounding for all the wrong reasons, of course. Why do we see this? And what can we as neurologists do to try to help this?
Traditionally, in the young population, the number of risk factors such as hypertension and diabetes were low. And stroke in that young population has been typically attributed to rare causes of stroke or inherited causes of stroke. But what we found and what previous data has shown is that young stroke is now starting to look a lot like old stroke, which means that patients in that age group between 30 to 50 are now starting to develop multiple risk factors like high blood pressure, diabetes. And this is also seen sort of across the globe as we see that childhood obesity is on the rise and diabetes of youth is on the rise. And so these risk factors, as we know, high blood pressure and diabetes are very directly correlated with the risk for atherosclerosis. So what we found in our study was that many of these patients had small vessel disease or large vessel atherosclerosis, which directly correlated with these underlying risk factors. And I think what the study highlights is that primary prevention is key. You know, we know that 80% of strokes can be prevented by screening for these risk factors. So primary prevention is key, and much of it needs to be implemented at the grassroots level, the community level.
Speaking of community, the region that was utilized is the one that you currently reside, and that's Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area from early 1990s, 1992 to 2007. Are there caveats that we should keep in mind when applying the results of your study to other U.S. and other geographical regions?
The demographic of our area is such that we have about 3% white Hispanics, about 2.2% Black Hispanics, and 30% non-Hispanic Blacks. So it is a very diverse area with a large population of non-Hispanic Black individuals. So in other areas of the country that are not as diverse, perhaps we would not see as many traditional risk factors in the younger population. But in the stroke belt, it's very possible that the results might be amplified and even more dramatic based on the diversity of the stroke belt.
What can this information, although it was 92 to 2007, what could this information tell us about the current and the future trends regarding stroke in the young for Black males?
Stroke in young, as we know, is increasing. So currently about 15 to 18% of all strokes occur in young adults, younger than age 50 or 55. We know from prior data that Black individuals are 2 to 3 times more likely to have stroke. They are more likely to have hypertension with rates up to 40%, and that young Black males are more likely to have risk factors. And our study sort of reinforces that young Black males are more likely to have multiple risk factors, thereby increasing their risk for stroke. So I think in the future, we're going to see more of this unless we really focus our energy on grassroots advocacy and prevention and screening of these risk factors.
Now, there has been a longstanding push by advocacy groups, you know, recently culminating in an FDA ban on menthol cigarettes. Now, are there other examples of public health or policy initiatives that need to be undertaken to counteract these risk factors that seem to disproportionately target young individuals?
Yeah, there's an absolute need for community-based screening and intervention programs. I mean, if you think about it, smoking history, obesity, hypertension, and diabetes are all screened for at a primary care's office. But the number of people that have access to primary care under the age of 50 is significantly lower than, and especially in the young Black population, as compared to, you know, the white population. And so I think there is great need for stroke literacy, stroke advocacy in the young adults, and especially obesity measures. There's also some hypotheses that obesity is directly linked to the number of risk factors. So, you know, health and fitness advocacy is also important in this population. There is definitely need for more policy and health initiatives in this area, and that's currently lacking.
Social determinants of health. This has become a recently discovered term for a lot of healthcare professionals, and certainly neurologists are not immune. Can you envision similar research being extrapolated to other neurological conditions besides stroke?
Social determinants of health is a huge driver in some of these racial and ethnic disparities. So be that education level, poverty, income, you know, access to health insurance, access to primary care, they all shape the manifestation of the disease and the treatment of the disease in different populations. So I think that studies such as this raise a question that needs to be investigated in other neurological conditions. I can foresee that something like this could be further researched within our multiple sclerosis population, as well as, you know, populations with other vascular diseases in other beds, be that peripheral vascular disease or heart disease.
Are there any other takeaways, anything else that we may have missed before we let you go?
No, I think we've highlighted that young Black individuals have more risk factors and multiple risk factors for stroke, and they are at increased risk of stroke, and that young stroke is starting to look a lot like old stroke, and that there is a great need for community-based intervention in this young population.
Again, the title of the paper is Differences in Multiple Risk Factors Between Black and White Individuals with young onset ischemic stroke. It's in the Green Journal. Prachi, thank you so much for spending time with us to discuss this. And on behalf of the Neurology Podcast, this is BJ Hicks signing off. Thank you.
Thank you, BJ.
This is Stacey Clardy, your podcast editor. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please take a few moments to subscribe, rate, and review the Neurology Podcast through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And remember, you can always head to neurology.org/podcast for our full list of past episodes, or you can also search by keyword in your podcast app for any neurology-specific topics you want to learn about. The views and opinions of the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the journal Neurology or the AAN. Disclosures of the participants are included in the show descriptions, reached by a link on the neurology.org website.